Begin tonight by reading a little portion of the 66th Psalm, Psalm 66, reading verses 8 through 12 in that psalm. We'll read five of those verses, but we're kind of focusing just on a couple of those terms that are there. In Psalm 66, verse 8, it says, "O bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net and laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out," as the New King James Version says, "to rich fulfillment." Let's bow our heads together tonight and ask the Lord to bless our lesson. Father, we come before you, Lord, this evening, grateful for all that you do for us. Father, those things that are pleasant and easy to look at as being joyful, Father, we're grateful for those things, but the difficult things, Lord, the requests we'll hear shortly, we thank you for those as well. Father, these afflictions, these trials that come upon us, we thank you for those as they teach us more about you, more of your grace, more of your provision. And Father, they can teach us more about ourselves as we give those things over to you and trust you to change us from glory to glory. Help us to do that, to turn those things over and grow in those things, Father, nearer to you. Bless this lesson to us tonight and help us to grow in it even now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a colder time of year. Today was actually kind of unseasonably warm. Uncle Rod, when he walked in, he was burring and shivering and that sort of thing. So some of us feel pretty cold this evening. I put on something kind of cozy because I was a little chilly earlier. And I even put a little fire here to keep everyone nice and warm tonight. But in this colder time of year, this evening we'll consider a little bit of a warmer subject, a warmer topic. And that's what that psalmist speaks of here in Psalm 66. About the heat that a child of God should expect, can expect to experience as they walk by faith. They're focusing on verse 10. We see the psalmist says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined." And refined means, well, smithing or smelting or heated to the point of purification or heated to the point of manipulation and movement and shaping and the like. But specifically, particularly as it deals with this context, refining, cleaning, purifying, you might say. Verse 12, the first part there says, "You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water." And so there's that warming element there, that heat that's being talked about, the heat that's required for refinement, for smelting. Anytime you want to, well, visit a silversmith, coppersmith, a blacksmith, whatever the case might be, there's going to be some kind of heat source present there. Across the street, I remembered across the street at one of the houses we lived at in Colorado. This, I don't know, he's 14, 13 years old. He built himself a forge across the street, and he took it out in the cul-de-sac, and man, he was shaping some metal out there and thundering. So he was crafting some metal work. I don't think it was at all safe. I think it was against any kind of code that might have been there, but there was a heat source, and man, he was banging out some metal. That's what you're going to see when you're refining, when you're smithing and the like. And so we see this imagery throughout Scripture, don't we? When God is dealing with his people, he does so with heat a lot of the time. God's people are heated, warmed, you might say, by the fires of his testing, a familiar concept to you, but what the Lord put on my heart to consider. Let's turn to Jeremiah 6 tonight and just look at one example there. In this passage here in Jeremiah 6, as is, well, the vast majority of Jeremiah the prophet is, well, prophesying in regards to the coming judgment that the Lord was going to put upon his people and their issues that they had. And he was warning God's people of the captivity that was yet to come. And that captivity was going to be a test for them, a trial, and it would be warm indeed. Now, he talks about, these are God's words regarding those people that he was looking to correct. They are all stubborn rebels, walking as slanderers. They are bronze and iron, so we're looking at that smelting, that smithing type of context there. They are all corruptors, and if you think about that refining product, what's trying to be made pure, you don't want anything to corrupt. You don't want any extra things in there, or else you have to fire up the heat, perhaps a little bit hotter, to burn those things off. They're all corruptors. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. The smelter refines in vain, for the wicked are not drawn off. What this is suggesting is that Israel was resistant to God's efforts, God's, well, his desire to refine them and help them to move past their sin and error. They refused to be purified by this fire collectively as a nation. Now, if you turn to Malachi chapter 3, you can keep your thumb in Jeremiah. We'll be back there in just a moment. But in Malachi chapter 3, this speaks of the coming of Jesus. At the time that Malachi wrote this, he was yet to come bodily. If you look at Malachi chapter 3, the coming of Jesus is a refining opportunity for Israel. It'll be a refining opportunity for those that are, well, quote-unquote, left behind, I guess you could say, when he comes again. But look at this from the perspective of his coming in physical form. Who can endure the day of his coming, Malachi 3, verse 2 says. And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like launderer's soap, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And certainly in that age to come, he's going to do this for his people. But even when he came bodily, came physically, he was, well, it was a burning thing to those ones who were pushing back on his efforts to purify. He was a refining fire even in his presence. Those ones, you know, we can talk about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. I won't go there, and I don't want to speculate on exactly what his mindset was. He was a man of, well, some position, a man of religious status and stature. And, you know, it would have been, naturally speaking, could have very easily been something that he felt threatened by Jesus. We know that a number of the other Pharisees did. And it's just something that, just naturally speaking, you're feeling your cheese getting moved, if you know the term. The cheese is getting moved around, and where you're satisfied where you're at, and you know your place and your purpose, and now all of a sudden this is shifting the paradigm, so to speak, this presence of Jesus. Well, it was looking to refine Nicodemus, long dead. Nicodemus, that one that was talking to Jesus, was looking to refine him and anyone else who was willing to step up and move closer to that refiner's fire that was the Lord Jesus. Jeremiah 18, we see the potter being talked about in Jeremiah 18 and verse 5. Jeremiah 18 and verse 5 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." You understand how pottery works. The potter shapes it, whether it's on a wheel, spinning, or just by hand, little slabs, whatever the case might be. The potter shapes it. And he can set that finished vessel aside in whatever shape that he wants to. He can set it aside, put it up in a window or on a shelf someplace, and it'll dry. It's called leather dry. And it'll feel kind of firm on the outside, but it's not watertight. It's not a useful vessel. It will soak through that depending on what kind of clay you're using. What needs to be done, we understand, is you put it into an oven, you put it into a kiln, and then that heat that comes in at I don't want to use the wrong terminology, but I believe probably at a molecular level, there's a change that takes place in the physical form of those elements in there, and they fuse together, and they bind together because of that heat. And it makes something that is a finished product. It makes something that is functional, something that is watertight and will hold in it, well, what the Creator wants it to hold. This work wouldn't happen without that heat. We understand that. Downstairs, I can't smell anything right now. My sinuses are plugged up. But you might smell wassail. I'm not sure. But we made wassail. I want to let everybody know, Jaden took care of all the food prep, so my hands were not on, were not on the food, so have no fear. Downstairs, there's wassail being heated up. Now, if you have ever made that stuff, and some of you might really like it, and some of you might hate it, and regardless, what it is just a bunch of juices that's put together, and a bunch of spices that are thrown in there. And if you sit and you take those juices and you pour them in, and add the things that are the required elements of that, and you throw in those spices, and you take a quick sip, you're going to be like, well, this is just kind of cold, watered-down kind of juice. You're not going to taste any spices or anything like that. What do you do? Well, you boil it. Bring it to a boil, then you lower it down to a simmer, skim the gooey stuff off the top, but you let it simmer. How come? Because then the spices open up, the little, well, cinnamon sticks about as big as my finger, all of a sudden they open up and they swell out and it permeates through the juice and all the little yummy pulps of the orange juice kind of pop open and everything infuses and it does taste almost entirely different after it's warmed up than it does when it's just cold and just a composite of a bunch of parts. It takes heat to do that. Love it or hate it, whatever the case might be, the finished product is what it's intended to be, because that heat has been applied and it's been brought and changed and transformed into what it's supposed to be because of that heat. And so it is here, according to our psalmist here in the 66th chapter. For you, O God, have tested us. You brought the heat. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net, laid affliction on our backs. That's the form that that heat takes oftentimes. Sometimes it's burdensome. Sometimes it's a literal affliction on our back. Sometimes it's a weight. Sometimes it's something more figurative, something metaphoric, something more conceptual, or whatever it might be that burdens us. You've caused men to ride over our heads. Sometimes the Lord does bring those ones to oppress us. So be it. We went through fire and through water. But the proper outcome there in verse 12, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment, it says there. And that word, rich fulfillment, means abundance or satisfaction or contentment with all of it together. Contentment, finishing, abundance, fullness, all of those things. Saints, you know the concept. The fire and the heat of the trials and the struggles that we go through, sometimes by our own doing, and sometimes merely because we're a child of God. And the Lord says, I want to shape you and make you malleable and make you more useful, more functional. The fires of and heat of the trials are beneficial to us. They warm us when you get right down to it. They don't roast us. They don't burn us. We could go to that picture of beauty for ashes and the like. But that part of us, that is that child of God, it's not burnt away. It's brought together. It's congealed, if you will. The flavors are brought out, you might say. The spices open up, if I can beat that metaphor to death. That's what the heat does for us. It gets rid of the dross, gets rid of the foul stuff. But it brings together something entirely good, entirely blessed, and entirely useful to the Lord. It elevates us, and that can be comforting. It should be comforting. So when you are under those trials, when things are feeling as though they are heating you up, recognize that the Lord is refining. Recognize that he's heating you on purpose and he's doing something blessed in you. And feel warmed and not burned. Embrace the fires of trials and difficulties because the Lord is making you exactly what he wants you to be.